was a mighty nation, blessed above all of creation. It was a rare and precious pearl, conceived in faith and liberty, home of the brave, land of the free. It was the envy of the world. But this shining city on a hill has turned from the Creator's will and let evil take control. Now the reckless men who lead them want to strip away their freedom and to steal their very soul. Now it's smoke and mirrors, switching bait, criticize and confiscate, and let the guilty walk away. In this once righteous, godly nation, in the halls of education, they forbid a child to pray. They say we need to spread the wealth. They pretend to guard the health of the feeble and the poor. While the hand they hold behind their back confuses and conceals the fact that the wolf is at the door. There's an unseen hand that pulls strings. It makes his little puppets dance to every song he sings. As the night folds in on a rising tide, look beyond the shadows, behold a pale horse ride. They claim to seek a new world order, nations without borders, but don't believe the lie.
Welcome back, muchachos. Welcome back. Welcome back. This is Resurrect the Republic. I am Eric the Freedom Screamer. Thank you for joining us tonight on the RBN Network. We have several people with us tonight. Gary Blackwell in Michigan. We always like to hear from Gary, so just chime in anytime, Gary. We have Chris in Las Vegas sitting in with us as well. And who else, Mike? Okay, we're waiting on Chris. Okay, good. So he's not there waiting yet, so we can spend a little more time with Dave Pruitt in Nevada, and I'm really glad Dave called in. And this is good because this gives Dave some more time, because I want to spend a little time with Dave and, of course, Gary and all of you out there. We appreciate you tuning in. My web presence is courtroomwatch.com. That's courtroomwatch.com. Stay involved. Be an activist. If somebody else is not free, you're not free. And be persistent. And don't submit to the fear. So with that, I'm going to turn it back to Dave Pruitt in Nevada. Dave, continue on your last train of thought. You with us, Dave, my friend? You may have lost Dave. That is common in this business. So we'll wait for Dave to call back in. Mike, if we get Dave back on, just chime in and let me know. Mike's doing a great job on the board of juggling everything. The show, the callers, the information. When I get it wrong, he yells in and tells.
We got down to the last resort, right, Eric? Eric? Yeah, we got down. I think it's interesting. I had a call today, and I've been sharing this with a number of people, and I get a scripture that is most of it what I have to say, but I think we're seeing the results of what some of us over the years have thought about the situation in the corporation or the United States of America, is that we have been underneath a king or a queen since the beginning of the country. And the reason I state that, if you go back, and I'll make it real quick, and when you need somebody, I'll yield, but when you go back in the history of our people clamored for a king back in the days of King Saul, and Samuel was the judge. And they clamored, they wanted to be like everybody else, they wanted a king over them. So our father allowed this to happen through Samuel. And they picked the first king was Saul. But one of the things that I should one day get printed out and get it so I can read it. One of the things that the Father, the Creator, said to Samuel, you tell the people this is what they're going to be, what's going to happen to them, how they're going to pay the taxes, and how they're going to do this. And they will be subjects. Well, right in our Constitution, in the 14th Amendment, it uses the word subject to this and subject to that. Well, if you're subject to something, you're a subject. And so they make it very clear as you look at these old documents. I was talking to a gentleman who said something about the war of in France, that it was all has to do with a monarch. All these wars have to do with a monarch someplace, somewhere in the world. And, of course, we just got all kinds of monarchs around. But the main monarchs that we would say would be the monarch of the Netherlands and the monarch of England, especially England. And when the Queen of England took her oath of office back, way back, she did not take an oath to be the Queen of England. She took an oath to be the Queen of Israel, which brings us right back to the days of King Solomon, King David, and King Saul, David, and Saul, okay? And that was when they had a singular king over Israel. And so with that in state, they have said to us that this is carried through. And there's a scripture, I think it's in Revelations, or one of the ones where it says, the sins of the third and fourth generation are passed on to the third and fourth generation, and they know not why. So I think the monarch head has come out, and I think I call it the queen's or the king's bench, has finally seen what's happening around the world, and especially in America with the freedom movement going. And I just think it's been brought to their attention, called the king's bench, and they're reacting. They're reacting to that. That's my opinion, and I'll yield to whoever.
You're exactly right, Gary. Thank you for that. That was excellent. Well said. Dave? Not sure if Dave is with us or not. Dave had a quick something come up, so Dave left us. Okay. It was nice hearing from Dave. We got a caller. Put him right up. Who do we have? Go ahead, caller.
Hi. First off, I want to say it's a little bit late for me for your show, but what I have heard I like very much, and I'm sure sorry that John had to make that decision because I thought you were doing just great. And I know it's very hard to jump in and fill in for other people. That's a tough spot. So, but I just wanted you to know that you're really doing great work. And I wanted to ask Gary, you said something about Chris. The last couple of days I have not been up on what's happening. How is it going with him?
Chris, it worked out as pretty well, a lot better than I thought it would. He filed an injunction with the higher court, and the lower court seemed to honor that. And so, you know, once again, things are postponed, and he's going to have to go back. You know, they never solve anything in one, but for a small temporary, you know, it was not a small victory. It was a big victory in my mind, because they had already two things. They were threatening somebody who was clearly not only are they not mentally ill, he's a really smart guy. So
yes,
and threatening with and threatening him with a psychiatric incarceration in a psych ward, a loony bin, so to speak, for lack of a better word. Okay, I just want to make sure everybody's hearing me on this. This is not a prison or jail. This is a psychiatric ward. This is exactly what the Soviets did. It's exactly what the Chinese do.
Yep.
You know, go ahead.
I know. I wound up in the hospital. I guess I had a stroke. That's what they say anyway. I don't know. I did not want to go to the hospital. I did not want them to do anything of what they did to me. And I was pretty much screaming about it. And they were going to send me to a psych ward in Little Rock. And I thought, oh, my God. I knew where I was. If I had to, I could walk home barefoot, but I couldn't from Little Rock.
Sure.
And it's terrifying when you think.
It sure is.
Especially when they're going to jam a needle in your arm, you're not going to know anything from there on.
Oh. Okay, do you hear this, people? This is how it is going on all over the country.
Yeah.
They're threatening people, anybody who wants to just stand on their basic, most fundamental rights is getting labeled, doesn't want to go to the hospital because there's nothing wrong with them. Oh, but we have to take you in just to be sure and be safe. Be safe for who? I'm fine, perfectly in good health. I've seen this happen before. They want to force everybody in there and look, what did you just say? They gave, first thing they did was force a needle into your arm. Great. What do you think's in that? We had a show on that a few weeks back. It's not pretty.
Yeah, I kept telling the doctor that I was going home, and he said, well, by law, I have to keep you overnight. I said, you don't understand.
Oh.
I am home. And I just kept. And then when I heard him talk about sending me to Little Rock, I was on an alcove just off the desk, and I got up on my knees on that thing, and I just literally almost screamed. And I said, you are not taking me to Little Rock. I mean, I just.
Good for you.
So I guess he probably thought I was a real basket case.
No, you're not the only woman I've heard do that. I've got reports of many women storming into the hospital room and threatening to bring the media or saying, I'm not going to go here or there. And it takes a lot of guts. Most guys don't have that guts, and it takes a lot of risk. Need to start. Yeah, we have to make a stand somewhere, people, or else we're all going to go down. You hear what they just said? By law, they have to keep you overnight, even if there's nothing wrong with you?
And they wanted to do a CAT scan. I said no. And then what I found out later was they knocked me out and did it anyway.
Oh.
And I didn't know it, but my neighbor had come in, and she was waiting, and she knew what happened. And then I realized after that when I was getting, they were saying I could go home, I had on a gown, and I had oxygen. And I thought, you know, I had no idea that so. They had knocked me out. Oh, I mean, whether I had guts, I don't know, but I was so angry. That,
well, you should be. I would be, too. This is.
Well, I appreciate your giving me a chance, and I'm glad that, for now, Chris is safe. And, because I hear him call in a lot of shows, and whenever I hear that Chris is calling in, it's always going to be something worthwhile.
Oh, absolutely. Thank you for saying so. That's sweet of you.
Well, I believe that when you think something, especially something good about somebody, they should hear it.
Well, isn't that nice? Thank you so much for your kind words.
Well, thank you for your time. And, where do you broadcast, and where are you located?
Well, my physical location is upstate New York.
Really? Where?
A little town called Angelica, and it's south of Rochester.
Oh,
and,
okay.
So this is kind of my main broadcast platform. Mostly I'm an activist locally, and I try to help people out even if they're out of state with whatever I can do. Networking people together, and I haven't been really a broadcaster for very long, but hopefully it'll continue, and we're going to try to do, if you have a computer, pay attention over the next few weeks and months to Studio 1776, and we're going to build that up into a platform for broadcasting. We also, I think we have a YouTube channel for Courtroom Watch now. So it'll be a combination of the two websites, courtroomwatch.com, and that will be a lot of blogs and stuff. And then studio1776.org will be kind of a radio broadcast thing. We'll try to put something together with the daily broadcast. If I can do it, I'm going to try to broadcast every day, maybe from 7 to 9 Eastern or something like that. But pay attention to studio1776.org, and that's where I'll be popping up sometime in the future, and then hopefully the very near future.
Okay. Is that your home base, that where you were raised? In that little
upstate
house?
New York is. Yeah. No, I was raised in the suburbs of Rochester, and then I moved out to the hills after my mom passed away.
Okay, because I went to high school in a little town right near Cooperstown.
Oh, Cooperstown, yeah, where the Baseball Hall of Fame is, yeah.
Well, there was a lot of little tiny towns there, and that was where I went to high school.
Oh, wow. Yep, upstate New York's very nice. Unfortunately, the 10 million communists in New York City and global bankers, they managed to run the state because for two reasons. That's where the largest number of people are, and also that's where the money center is. And so, New York City, and it's destroying the upstate New York because all these little towns, beautiful little towns in the hills, and it's really nice up here, but, you know, it's the people are, the private enterprise, and the people are being destroyed. And it's absolutely intentional, and it's absolutely evil.
Oh, I know. The little town where I went to school, it's, people leave because there's nothing there.
Right. Let me tell you what happened to this town that I just moved into. Apparently, there were 1,500 people was the population of this little town called Angelica. This is 5 years ago, just five. In 5 years, it went from 1,500 to 748, I believe was the exact number. That's 50% of the population of an American town disappeared. Now, I don't want to use the word disappeared. This is genocide.
Yes.
To drive out, make refugees of, homeless people of, poor people of, 750 out of 1,500, 50% of a beautiful, prosperous upstate town that had farms and businesses and everything, and now you drive down the main street of all these towns, and it's one boarded up shop after another closed down business, after another building that's falling apart because they got foreclosed by the county, even though the person owned it. But the police station, it looks brand new, everything, new parking lot stripes and the everything, guardrails and all new doors, and all the guys got brand new cars that they drive and make $150,000 a year. And I saw, it was disgusting. I saw a New York State trooper sitting in the little teeny gravel parking lot that could hold maybe a dozen cars. It had three little houses that were businesses all around it. One would look like a little auto body shop, and somebody else had something else, just little mom-and-pop businesses locally. All three of them shut down. This is three out of dozens in this little town that were shut down. And the New York State trooper sitting there in his brand-new car, it was just like, here's what happened. Communism took over. Enough immoral henchmen came on board and said, yeah, I'll destroy people's lives. Yeah, I'll shut down their business. Yeah, I'll go steal their business and everything in it. If the state orders me to, if the witch's court orders me to, I'll do anything. They won't cut their own mother's throat from ear to ear, but they'll do it to their neighboring people in their community who are part of their little club or their little gang. So this is what happens. And there he was. This is all shut down surrounding this state trooper who was sitting there. How stupid do you have to be? It was precisely because of people like him that the attorneys at the state legislature were able to pass these laws and get away with people enforcing them to steal everybody's property, shut them down, send them notices, you're behind on this paperwork, you didn't get that inspection, you failed that inspection, you couldn't afford an attorney, your taxes are behind, even though this country was founded on a tax revolution, and shutting down businesses. And it's nasty. Some of these upstate New York towns, there's nothing but the post office, the police station, the CPA's office doing really well, the local insurance company, and the lawyer's office, and every other thing else, the shoe shop, the hair shop, the little shop that used to sell coats and clothes, the one that used to have a diner there that was just maybe two people working there, and somebody owned it and was trying to eke out a living, all of them shut down one after another, including all the big factories shut down one after another. So this country is dying. I would almost say it's dead. And that's why we have to resurrect. Go ahead.
Yeah, it definitely needs CPR. It's, even here, where I live in Arkansas, it's very similar. The little towns just struggle to stay alive.
Barely, and they're not really doing it. And then they drag everybody who has no money because they're not working, even though they want to. You know, of course, they're competing against whatever jobs are out there. They're competing against the Mexicans that come pouring over the border and everybody else. And so that drives the wages down. I've seen it firsthand.
I know.
The really funny thing in North Carolina was after the contractors had gone out and fired all their local guys to hire two for the price of one Mexicans. Let's just be honest. That's where they came from.
Right.
Once all the local guys were gone off the cruise, the Mexicans did like a de facto unionization and said, "We're not coming to work tomorrow unless you pay us what you were paying them." How's that one for get? Yeah, you all you stinking rotten pieces of crap employers out there who were so greedy that you don't want to pay a local person, you know, that whatever fair wage, whatever it is, 12 an hour, 15 an hour, 20 an hour. No, you want to get somebody $6, $7, $8 an hour. Well, look, it's destroying your community. And guess what? You want to talk about it, just what goes around, perfect karma, so to speak. You know, how's that one? They thought they were going to make a whole bunch more money and get rid of not give a darn about the local guys. Hire the illegal invaders that are poured over the border. It's an unarmed invasion. Let's call it what it is. A wall's not going to do anything. And by the way, we already funded the wall years ago, and they didn't build it. What happened to that money? What are they doing talking about funding again? Double paying for the wall, go figure. Wow, surprise, surprise. Wall's not going to do anything. Ron Paul was right. It's more to keep us in than keep anybody else out. So... that was kind of sweet justice to see those greedy contractors get screwed and wind up getting rid of all their good the guys who were good craftsmen were all fired so they could get cheap guys. And the migrants did not do very good work in most cases. They were just trying to save money. And sure enough, guess what? Then they got crappy work for top dollar, and that's where we live right now. So people have to realize, you know, support your local economy. This is essential. Go ahead.
Okay.
All right, sweetheart. Thanks. Anything else?
Thank you very much for your time. And
are you listening over the internet?
No, believe it or not, I listen on the telephone.
The telephone, yep. I know a lot of people do. Yuppers, okay. Well, thank you. We're going to be on for a couple more nights, so stay with us and stay with the network. If you enjoy what they produce, great. And if not, you know, we'll be at studio1776.org. You get yourself a little
great
computer.
That's a great
name. Smartphone, you can listen to it. Yeah, thanks. That was my friend Daniel came up with that. He's very creative, and he's got one of the we're trying to put something together where we can have a broadcast platform. And you know, we're probably mostly over the internet, but we're going to try to add a telephone line because I know a lot of people don't like the computer. I'll tell you, it's a great tool to use for research and, you know, enlightenment. I don't want to use the word entertainment, but you can listen to broadcasts over it as well if you have a internet signal in your
Daniel
neighborhood.
Brigman? You said your friend Daniel. That Daniel Brigman?
Oh, no, I do know Daniel Brigman. He's a great guy.
Oh,
I was talking
he is.
About Daniel.
Really.
I really enjoy his. Yeah, he does the Power Hour. I was talking about my Daniel, Daniel Leach, and Daniel is Single Parents Helping singleparents.org, and that's grown by leaps and bounds.
I think I heard him interviewed.
Yeah, he's a great guy. He's got up to, gosh, it went from 30,000 to 50,000 in like the last 30 days. He's getting over 1,000 to 1,500 subscribers
well,
a week. So
he's really filling a need.
We're going to try to do something for them specifically for single parents, like have a show once a week that's exclusive to, you know, maybe single parenting. Then one show, maybe or two, a couple of nights dealing with the courts and politics, which is what I do. And we might have kind of, you know, a health or music-related show, something therapeutic. And
that's
then back to reality with report stuff. So we're going to try to make it well-rounded, you know, so there's something for everybody, so to speak. But it's going to be always geared toward freedom and independence and activism. Daniel's an activist like I am. And so it's good to have that. And he's great with the computer stuff. So he came up with studio1776.org. And with me doing the courtroom watch and his single parents organization, we're going to hopefully at least, you know, have something to offer people. And we'll just take it from there. Everybody's got their niche. There's plenty of room for more broadcasters out there. I encourage people to stay with this network. Stay with, you know, check out Studio 1776. See what you like. And just, you know, ultimately that's kind of freedom of, you know, the marketplace will go where it likes to go. And there's something for everybody out there. I know. Some people like the more passionate delivery that I give. Some people like the more, you know, something a little more sedated or a little more mellow. Hey, there's plenty of that out there, too. So we're just trying to give something to everybody.
I enjoy the fire.
I appreciate it. Well, I know. I mean, something. There comes a time when things just have to be said like they are. And that's all I'm trying to do. This is not scripted. I'm not reading off anything. This is not.
I know that.
This is not by design. This is just by... It's by frustration, and it's by a sense of righteous indignation, I maybe call it. I don't want to say I'm mad, but, you know, it's really nasty what's going on out there in our own government and our own court system. And once again, I'm way more afraid of our own government and the courts and the state police than I am about a bunch of Muslims coming down the road. They're not going to make it very far out here in the hills of northern Appalachia with all these armed rednecks driving around. It's not going to get very far. So they're trying to take us over politically from the inside out. If they can't take us, like Admiral, who was it, Yamamoto, said, you know, they said, how come you didn't invade the west coast of the United States after Pearl Harbor? And he said, because there's a gun behind every blade of grass and we wouldn't get very far. So what they have to do is come in through the Freemasons that are in every town up here, and they announce it, the Lions Club International, ICLEI.
Everywhere.
UN Agenda 21, all these, and then try to cut some backroom deals with the local politicians. This is why the tyranny of the local is far worse than the tyranny of the federal, because this is where it actually comes to bite you. And then they cut the deals and make the backroom deals, and the local people vote for more taxes, less private property, and eventually everything falls into the hands of the county. There's a bunch of farms around here that just went back to the county, and everything's going to the county because they're foreclosing on everybody's house. It's the highest tax county, Allegheny County, where I live, is the highest tax county in the state, and it's also the poorest county in the state. I mean, there's places it's like, no joke, Deliverance. It's way old school. Yeah, and the poverty, heavy duty, and it's because there's no jobs, because of the state regulation. Now, this came from Sheriff Moss, who's supposedly a good conservative constitutional-type sheriff. He was running it as for lieutenant governor with Rob Astorino. Rob Astorino was the Republican candidate who was running against Andrew Cuomo, the communist. You know, so it was basically the Nazis versus the communists. And so Rob Astorino's running mate was Sheriff Moss. And Sheriff Rob Astorino was candidate for governor. Sheriff Moss was lieutenant governor candidate. I just want you to know, this is not coming off from me just dreaming this up. He said... New York has 750,000. 750,000.
You are tuned in.
Government regulations.
Visit our website.
Oh, sorry, break time. We'll be right back.
Broadcasting.org.
You've probably heard about all the great benefits of goat milk soap. But did you know? Some companies take shortcuts. At Old New England Soap, we make our organic goat's milk soap using 36% goat's milk. That's 17% more than most others. Our bars are larger, so they last longer, producing lots of lather packed with vitamins. And our soap is a natural moisturizer that smooths dry and damaged skin. Order online at oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. You've tried the rest. Now try the best. Oldnesoap.com.
Water-based soaps on supermarket shelves use harsh chemical acids to break down dead skin cells. And that's just not good for you. At Old New England Soap, our soaps are made without chemical ingredients, contain no alcohol or petroleum products, and use 85% organic materials and carry the USDA's organic certification. Try some today. Go to oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. Oldnesoap.com.
Hi, folks. Let's wind the clocks back 60 years. Food was different. Food provided health and nutrition, and using supplements was minimal. Unfortunately, now we have chemicals, GMOs, herbicides, and pesticides that can be quite lethal in the name of our food supply and, of course, the ever-loving dollar. Supplementing our diets can be very important to stay healthy. Cleansing from daily intruders to the body might be critical. Live strong and take charge. Log on to GetTheTea.com. Our herbal tea is a great way to cleanse from intruders. Our supplements is a great way to maintain and improve your health. When your health is not up to par, go to GetTheTea.com. No GMOs, no fillers, and organic. And very helpful in keeping you at the top of your game. Life is too short to feel, you know what I mean. Stay in the game. At the top of your game with GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. Again, GetTheTea.com.
Extendivite really works. Just listen to what some people have to say.
Several years ago, I was developing a very severe situation. I called it my flippy heart. It just was doing not good things. And I did not want to go to a medical doctor because I just knew they would give me a cover-up pill. I didn't want to get onto that sort of thing at all. When I learned it was garlic and cayenne is a healer. It is a wonderful herb. I said, I think I'm onto something here. I'll tell you, I wouldn't be without it. It did wonderful things for me.
Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid. Call now. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Welcome back, friends. Welcome back. Welcome back. This is Eric, the Freedom Screamer. Thank you for joining us. Let's see. We have another caller, so we're going to get right to our caller. Then we're going to squeeze in Chris in Las Vegas. Gary Blackwell's with us, of course. Valued presence, and if he can chime in anytime he wants to. So let's go to our next caller. Who do we have?
Yes, Eric. How are you doing?
Fred, how are you, buddy?
All right. I want to bring up a couple interesting things in the news. A couple of days ago, I believe you had news about the retaking of Mosul by the U.S.-led coalition, whatever that means. It now turns out that in bombing Mosul and in shelling Mosul, you've killed so many people that they had to have something to basically take our minds off of this stupid war against ISIS, because ISIS is the country, and by the way, it's still going to be there 10 years from now. Either that or you'll have sort of like a Syrian situation where you won't have a government. You just have little bands of people controlling territory. So making, you know, destroying a city like Mosul and the other main cities of Iraq are not going to bring peace to that area. And in the story, it said that more than 100 civilians, innocent civilians, were just obliterated per house. And there must have been many hundreds of houses that have been flattened It's just people are running to remaining houses to avoid the fighting and the bombs, and then jets come over and bombers come over and just obliterate all the houses. Now, they're not going after fighters. They're just going after the population. They're just wiping out the population, and the remaining population is going to find its way through Turkey and
horrible
other countries into Europe.
Absolutely horrible. Now, do we know if those is there any reports from people there? Are those Russian jets or are those American?
This is the coalition. This is right in the Washington Post and the front page of the Washington Post and the New York Times that unfortunately this is the way it has to be done. Yeah.
Unfortunately, great. Yeah, I'm not unfortunate for them who are doing it. Unfortunately for the people who they have to murder. Right. Did you hear that? People carpet bombing civilian neighborhoods. That doesn't surprise me one bit.
The other thing I want to say ties into that in that I can't believe how underreported this is, the fact that you had that piece of legislation before Trump took office on the fact that the CIA could, it was the intelligence Community Funding Act, whatever that was, like an omnibus bill. And the bureaucracy pushed that through. They didn't have to do anything, but the bureaucracy pushed that through with Obama in there. Can you imagine the Republicans voting for this? But they had to, because they do anything. They fund anything the intelligence community wants funded. So they put that amendment in there saying that the CIA intelligence community could now run domestic black propaganda, and also that it could define, and it could get the networks to go along with them in defining whatever was called fake news. So this is not something that the networks thought up on their own. This is actually the government, the bureaucracy that was going to be in there, regardless of whoever the president is. And they're coming down on the internet, Eric. And so they're coming down on the broadcasters by regulation.
Yep.
It'll be slower.
Reporters.
But they're coming down on the internet. And that woman who just called in, the lady who called in, and other people find that we're going to have a denied access to things. We're going to have technical, quote unquote, technical difficulties, jamming of broadcasts.
Yep.
And also, people are getting picked off. People are getting picked off. Look what happened to William today. Look what happened to Gary. Look what happened to Tom. Look what happened to you. Even though John is a friend, considered a friend, still the whole, and look what happened to the callers and the supporters that are afraid, and I'm partially afraid. But this legislation and this whole tilt of events is making people, is denying people news and information, and it's also preventing them from participating and making them scared to participate.
Right. They're trying to send that chilling. Not only is it the denial of information, it sends a chilling effect.
No, I have never had a computer. Yeah, I have never owned a computer. I've never had a computer. I've never had computer service. I've never had cable of any kind or this Fios. I've never had that. I've just relied on my own excellent education to basically participate in this movement for a very long time. Now, I'm afraid that I'm going to be falsely charged. So it's a funny thing. I would have helped you. I would have supported you, but I'm going to need a couple of grand to basically stay and have some way to defend myself, because something is coming down the pike. And I'm telling the public now, telling everybody that what they're doing is they're using irrelevant charges to pick off politically active people, and those charges are false charges. But they're coming up with things just by surveillance, finding out, you know, basically the type of person that is under surveillance as being a political person. They're basically knowing that if you don't have a lot of money, you could be put out of action by just being charged. It will just disrupt your life too much, and you won't be able to be politically active anymore.
Well, absolutely. That's how they try to remove people from the scene. So I hope that everybody out there listening, you know, values the information that you get in the independent media, media that's not owned or controlled. So we're working on it, Fred.
I want to ask you something. Yeah, I want to ask you something. Your courtroom observer activities, why can't someone do that in the Philadelphia area and then be a stringer, be a reporter to you? Philadelphia is a very active area
but it
slipped politically the other way. It's like 9-1 Hillary.
Well, considering the fact that Philadelphia is where the Declaration of Independence was signed, I'd be happy to think there was some thread of independent mind still running through that community, and I'd be welcome. Anybody wants to be a public reporter, they're welcome to send in, even if it's just a basic fundamental thing. You don't have to have a fancy backdrop and a lot of good equipment, and it doesn't have to be, you don't have to dress up. Just go out and get some news that's happening in your little neck of the woods. And the stuff that nobody else is willing to cover. I'm still so completely shocked that none of the bigger outfits are sending anybody to the Bundy trials and the trials in Oregon and Nevada. What is going on? I mean, the silence is deafening. And I guarantee this would be huge news if Hillary was president. It'd be like, oh, my God, the government's arresting Patriot reporters. Everybody go there. You know, let's go send reporters and blah, 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 blah. The only reason you're not hearing it is because Trump is president. People don't want to face it, that the tyranny is getting not only continuing, it's getting worse here at the grassroots level. He can change this easily. He could completely dissolve the Department of Homeland Security and call it what it is. It's illegal. You should see how much money they ripped off, hundreds of millions of dollars they ripped off through travel accounts, travel expenses, parties in New York City for $100,000 a night at a 5-star Mandarin hotel. They rented an island. They rented an island for $70,000 and had a party there. They're taking trips to Thailand and Australia and charging lunch to the taxpayer when they take somebody. I mean, they're completely looting. The whole thing's a criminal enterprise. And now today, they're telling people, this is not public property. This is private property.
Yeah. Why are they everywhere and anywhere, these people with no name. People in black, I don't know what they're wearing, turtlenecks or something. Yeah. I don't know what.
Yeah,
but the thing is,
these are the Gestapo. This is your modern Gestapo. That's why it's not off base when I call it the Department of Homeland Gestapo. And by the way, whenever somebody uses the word homeland, motherland, or fatherland, flee from those people. They're either really they're either being brainwashed and we need to educate them. The people at the top are the enemy. They know exactly what they're doing. If you can, it's creating a grotesque nationalism that goes beyond patriotism, which is the love of your country. A patriot is someone who loves their country. It's that simple. Grotesque nationalism is what you get when you start getting this attitude. Well, America, right or wrong, man? Well, no. How can you run around and say you're right when you're wrong? If there's no such thing as America, right or wrong, America is wrong. We better right the ship, or it's going to sink. Fred, anything else? We got a couple more calls.
Yeah, I do. You said on the Homeland Security, they're actually going in. They're using this FEMA retraining law. I don't know if you know about that, but they're taking over the licensing FEMA is and Homeland Security with training.
Yep.
Taking over the licensing of amateur radio licensees.
They've already taken everything. Every agency.
Right,
they're moving into
a dozen civilian areas. They're doing it rapidly. This is undisputable.
I know. Every agency in the government is now underneath DHS. But we're screwed. It's not a good position to be in. And with Trump making the agency bigger, and one of the first things he did when he got into office was add a new program. We got a new program with the Department of Homeland Security for victims' assistance of illegal. He tried to strike that nerve of, you know, hate those illegal invaders. And, yeah, I hate them. They're stealing our jobs and destroying our standard of living by driving wages down and sucking a lot of the public services that's supposed to be for poor and crippled people. They're sucking that dry through welfare. And the ones that are working are driving our wages down. So, you know, he struck that nerve, and what did he do? He said it's going to be a deal, but people will accept it because it's going to be against those nasty immigrants or whatever.
If you just have the word homeland in something, that becomes then center of the conscious attention. Yeah.
Nazi-esque. Yep. Fred, check in with us once tomorrow the end of the week before I split. Thank you, my friend. Appreciate your call. Who do we have next, Mike? You can put up our next as well. Who do we got?
Yeah, this is Mike in Kentucky. I didn't think I was next, but
you're up, buddy.
They've been targeting people for a long time, I think, for various, besides just espionage, I think there's electronic harassment issues that mainstream reporters, even with evidence, won't cover. And I guess, you know, that has the third rail of your career or something. I don't know how they control, unless it's blackmail or something, that they put this kind of fear into journalists, because a lot of journalists, when I was in school, they were all looking for a scoop, you know? But after they get out for a few years, it's like, no, better just go with the flow. We're just going to read the public relations press releases and chase ambulances and forget investigative reporting.
I'll tell you how they I got the answer to that. Let me tell you the Kevin Williams story. Kevin Williams is a great guy. He's the weatherman at a major Rochester, New York local TV station. He's also the major share owner of the station. Fantastic patriot, liberty-loving guy, really smart. Knew that he's a brilliant meteorologist. He knew the global warming was a scam, among a whole bunch of other things. When I listened to him speak once, I couldn't believe it was him when I heard at the end. I tuned midway through the interview, and I was listening, going, who is this guy? I can't believe it. And it turned out to be our local weatherman, Kevin Williams. So and this has already been out public information. This is nothing private that I have to keep under discretion. This was known pretty well around town a couple of years back. Well, we had, during the time of Ron Paul and the Fed and all that, by the way, where did that all go in this new administration? Whatever happened to end the Fed? That's one of the most important things we have to do. Kevin Williams spoke and there was a big protest with about 1,000 people there, right downtown Rochester. And Kevin Williams, God bless him, came and spoke at the event and said, you know, the numbers and the statistics don't say that we're going into any global warming. If anything, it's cooling down a little right now. Everything's just cycles, and most of it depends upon the sun and all that. So he was very objective, very much, you know, a good scientist. And he had his a whole bunch of, you know, guest speaking arrangements all lined up at the university. I know in particular, because the guy who was organizing it, made this public that, unfortunately, because his affiliate was an NBC affiliate, and the CEO of NBC at the time was it Immelt? Was pushing the global. Who was the CEO of... And then NBC, of course, got scooped up by GE, and yep. GE was pushing the car. GE, who was the CEO of GE, is what I meant. Who's the CEO of General Electric that was constantly pimping, using the government power to try to get a carbon tax to go through for his corporate benefit? So anyway, the bottom line was his local radio TV station, which was an NBC affiliate.
Does it go back to Sarnoff?
I thought it was Jeffrey Immelt. Yeah. They're all doing this. They're all executing the same plan. Nothing's changed. But it was General Electric. So anyway, his TV station was owned by NBC, and NBC was owned by GE. So we don't know who it was at GE or NBC that called, but he basically, poor Kevin, got the phone call that You won't be doing any more, criticizing, public criticism of the global warming agenda or else, you know. And he knows the or else means they're going to pull his license, his affiliation, and they're going to make destroy his life and make him miserable. So he kept his gig, and he kind of backed off and from the public activist thing. And that's how we're losing a lot of people who could really get the word out to the Joe Q public, so to speak. You know, people in the public eye who are on TV and who know what's going on. They know this whole globalist, you know, scam and the courts and everything as well. But anytime anybody comes out to talk about it, you know, if they have a decent thing going, like a major local TV station, you know, they really don't want to risk losing that. I would hate to see him lose it as well. I kind of don't blame him, but at the same time, you know, so I hope he gets things done from behind the scenes. Like all you people who can't come forward and speak, donate, support your favorite activist. I accept donations. Anybody enjoys my work, my platform will build if I have help. You can go. I've got a funding page at courtroomwatch.com. It's one of the blogs on the first about five or six down. It says it's a funding page. You'll see it. Anybody wants to go online with a debit card, I sure could appreciate the help.
It helps keep my activism going
and my technology. What's that?
Too intimidated to be worried about it. I think William Benny talked about that, about how his contacts in investigative reporting, they can't get people to get sources to talk. And I've had the same issue because they'll come up with something like, oh, my boss died in a violent car crash. I'm not going to talk even with my voice disguised in a man in a shadow interview because they'll be able to figure out who I am. You know, so this has had a huge chilling effect on journalism across the board, and a lot of members of the public, I think, have the attitude that, well, we better just, you know, cower in the shadows like a rat, and that's exactly the opposite from what Americans should be doing, because the complacent societies across the world die. I mean, if you're, you know, and that's what I just read this week, too, some Japanese professor, you know, analyst or whatever, of the situation at Fukushima says the whole thing basically is because of the complacent society that is compliant with whatever they're told to do. And
that's why outlets such as this one are so important, because where are you going to find out anything in life? From one of three places: either the media, the schools, or your friends and family and people you run into around town. That's it. Now, if the media is corporate, and like Kevin Williams' story, his NBC affiliate was ultimately owned by GE. Oh, what's the problem with corporations owning the media? Right there, as soon as somebody starts to tell the truth and it doesn't agree with the globalist agenda, which is not friendly to freedom, then they shut them down. They pull the plug. The corporation's in charge of everything. I believe there's only four or five corporations now, ultimately, that own just about everything in the quote-unquote real media that the federal goons at the courthouse told John Lamb today. Oh, you're not part of the real media, Mr. Lamb. Well, first of all, thanks for the compliment. Second of all, we're the real media now because we tell the truth.
Did you ever see the movie Rollerball with James Caan, the original one?
Oh, yeah. That's a classic.
Everything got merged into about five corporations running the planet, and the governments all went bankrupt. Yeah. And, you know, we're about there because I think there's about four corporations that own 90-some% of the food production, about five or six corporations that own 90% of the media, and they're trying to squash and attack and marginalize anybody that's independent. And, you know, RBN, whatreallyhappened.com, they get attacked, I think, and little glitches and stuff occur with anybody on Facebook shadow banning on Twitter and all this sort of stuff. We are in the technocratic state. There is no Star Trek utopia. These nerds that are all into science fiction need to understand that. We are not headed toward some technological utopia. We're heading toward a technological prison.
That's a nightmare.
Yeah.
Something as simple as studio1776.org has been banned from, as being blocked by Facebook. I just found that out.
The computer internet security section on whatreallyhappened.com this afternoon, I took a screenshot of it. It was blank, but I was able to go around that and get using their URL number and get the stuff that was on there. So, I mean, we got to
come up with it. Yeah, not everybody's that savvy. That's why you have to be persistent, people. Look at this, what he just said. You got to keep determined. Go around. Find ways in. Now, Facebook's blocking Studio 1776. Just log out of Facebook and leave them and go to the website directly. Don't go through Facebook. But it's very interesting that they're saying Studio1776.org contains malicious and dangerous content. Simply because we're talking about free... And we don't do a big thing with guns and prepping and military operations and militia stuff. And we don't, I mean, we advocate all the heads, but it's not the focus. We're more of a political courtroom observation and watching the courts and doing activism and trying to network people into lending their voice. So we don't have to get physical. I obviously, be prepared, people. We all should be. But the activism should really be, while you're preparing, be an activist as well. Don't just prep and not without activism, because then you're just waiting for the problem to come to your front door. And activism without prepping isn't too smart either, because you don't want to get caught with your pants down. So I encourage people to stay active. Thank you, caller. We appreciate you checking in with us.
One last thing,
though. What's your name again?
Mike from Kentucky.
Sure.
I run a local TV station up here.
Sure.
Yeah. The rules of criminal procedure in Kentucky say that nobody can mention jury nullification in the courtroom. So the only way for people to learn about it is from society and through the media, and the media is not doing their job. So.
Nope, they're not. And this is why I encourage, thanks again, Mike, appreciate all
that.
Excellent
Bye-bye.
Point. This is why I encourage people to go download that jury nullification flyer. Now, they've blocked it twice. And we posted it a third time, and it's still up there. It's 2 or 3 hours ago. Be persistent and keep going there. They can take it down all they want. We're going to keep reposting it. And I implore everybody to go to the website, courtroomwatch.com, and find the jury nullification flyer. It should be the top posting. And download that sucker, make 100 copies, pass them out at your local courthouse, either at the county courthouse or the state courthouse, on jury selection day. Find out what day there's jury selection. It's usually 1 or 2 days a week. There'll be 100 people in line because the jury pools are pretty large, and they choose from that. And if you get there just before the doors open and just quickly run down that line and hand everybody a flyer, take you 5 minutes, cost you $5 in gas to get there. In most cases, your county courthouse is relatively close. Make the trip as far as you have to. This is important stuff. Your freedom could depend upon it. So, and also take a stack of the flyers down to your, if you live in a suburban town and, you know, I know in Penfield, New York, I heard there was 170 people one night at traffic court, and they were running court every night of the week. And so it was for victimless crimes, victimless allegations. So go there. Even if there's 20, 30 people there, if there's any kind of crowd, you want to pass out those jury nullification flyers. Do it on the bulletin board, post it on the coffee shop. Go to the colleges, post it at the student union bulletin board, post it in the courthouse or the county office exit building. They'll have a public board there, and if they take it down, keep putting it back up. And if they keep taking it down, file a complaint with the head of the whoever's in charge of the building, and the security ought to keep prevent anybody from touching that. There's nothing threatening on there and except a tyranny. And you have every right to post wherever you want. So pass out those jury notification flyers, spread the word. Thanks to our callers. Thanks to Dave, Gary, and all you listeners out there. Appreciate you hanging in there with us. We'll see you tomorrow on Resurrect the Republic. This is Eric, the Freedom Streamer on the RBN Network. Download those jury nullification flyers at courtroomwatch.com. See you tomorrow.
You've probably heard about all the great benefits of goat milk soap. But did you know? Some companies take shortcuts. At Old New England Soap, we make our organic goat's milk soap using 36% goat's milk. That's 17% more than most others. Our bars are larger, so they last longer, producing lots of lather packed with vitamins. And our soap is a natural moisturizer that smooths dry and damaged skin. Order online at oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. You've tried the rest. Now try the best. Oldnesoap.com.
Water-based soaps on supermarket shelves use harsh chemical acids to break down dead skin cells. And that's just not good for you. At Old New England Soap, our soaps are made without chemical ingredients, contain no alcohol or petroleum products, and use 85% organic materials and carry the USDA's organic certification. Try some today. Go to oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. Oldnesoap.com.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.